and a couple of B-wings. And while they were no doubt customized to some extent, it was improbable that they could match the Desert Jewel once I went to full burn. But I didn't want to use that fuel if it wasn't necessary. We had a long trip ahead, and friendly ports would be scarce when we got into trouble. So if the shields and our Rodian upgrades could handle this, I would let them. "I think we'll be okay," I said. And of course, as soon as the words left my mouth, we took our first hit on the bottom of the starboard wing. The shields prevented any damage, but the impact spun us around and changed our vector. I had to fight the ship back on course to present the smallest target.
"That's not okay, Luke. What are you waiting for? Go faster."
"The shields are still fine. Most of their shots are missing us." We got hit and spun again, and this time the shield energy readout dipped noticeably.
"It's the ones that hit us I'm worried about," she exclaimed.
"Every time I try to reassure you, we get nailed. So I'll just fly, okay?" Before Nakari could retort, a growled message from one of the pirates fed through the comm system.
"Unidentified ship. Surrender for inspection, and we guarantee your personal safety. Continue to flee, and you will be destroyed."
Nakari snarled and took out her frustration on the speaker. She jabbed the comm button and said,
"Unidentified hole. Please shut it and inspect yourself. Continue to talk, and you will be ignored."
Her rebuke worked, in one sense. They didn't talk anymore. But all three of the cloak shapes decided to let heat-seeking missiles do their talking for them, a development for which I was prepared, but which still surprised me. A ship blown to fragments wouldn't yield them any profit. Maybe they'd had a rough day of piracy, or maybe they were trigger-happy. I didn't dwell on it, since surviving the six missiles was more important than discovering why they'd been fired. I'd hoped to avoid dealing with missiles altogether, but we'd had some flares installed on Rodia that would be useful now. Phosphorus flares can burn much hotter than the engines for a brief time and draw the heat seekers away. But timing their release is crucial. Deploy them too early and you risk them dying out and allowing the heat seekers to reacquire the sublight engines. Deploy them too late, and the explosion will damage your drives anyway. Thinking of that made me reevaluate the pirate's strategy. They weren't trying to kill us. They were merely trying to damage our engines. They were gambling that we had flares, and hoped we would either deploy them poorly, or at the very least deplete the number of flares at our disposal. If they damaged us, their objective was achieved. If not, fire another volley and repeat until we were crippled. If they gambled poorly, and we were destroyed after all, they wouldn't lose any sleep over it, because they'd given us a chance to surrender. If Drusel were in the cockpit, she might be able to look at the vectors and speeds of the incoming missiles and calculate the optimal release time for the flares. But I had to rely on instinct. Or rather, instinct aided by the Force. We wouldn't be jumping to hyperspace before the missiles reached us. And trying to outrun them was the sort of idea that would have C-3PO pronouncing our doom. So it had to be the flares. When I closed my eyes and reached out to the Force, it was as if I had never left it a couple minutes ago. The awareness was still there, a rush of it filling my head like an additional sense that spoke to me of my surroundings, inside the ship and out. Nakari was worried and willing to let me know. Drusel was also worried, but keeping silent. R2 was simply there, and I assumed he was busy working with the nav computer on our jump. I felt the five closest pirates and the six missiles, adjusted the course of the Jewel in response to their positions and pattern of fire, and waited for the right moment to set off the flares. When it came, I opened my eyes to check that my finger really was hovering over the correct button on the newly installed Rodian weapon system panel, a moment of self-doubt, I suppose, and pressed when my eyes confirmed it. The flares deployed and attracted the heat seekers. Explosions rocked the space behind us. Cannon fire continued to streak past, and the pirates launched another round of missiles.
"Are we okay? Did you get them all?"
Nakari asked. "I got the first six, but six more are inbound."
"Do we have enough flares for that?"
"I think we have enough, but we won't need them.
Why not?
I grinned at her. Because it's been 45 seconds now. The stars streaked past like raindrops on a window as R2 jumped on schedule. Nakari closed her eyes, clenched her fingers on the armrests of the co-pilot's seat, and took a deep breath. When she exhaled, she relaxed, tension draining out of her shoulders and fingers, and she opened her eyes and looked at me.
I'm sorry for yelling, Luke. You obviously knew what you were doing, and I wasn't helping.
Don't worry about it, I said. People tend to yell in combat. It's high stress. Was that your first time being chased like that? Nakari nodded, her lips pressed tightly together. If we'd been in the Harvester, you'd have had cause to be worried, I told her. But you made a good decision to spend all your credits on those engines. A fancy bunk room wouldn't have saved us.
Thanks.
She took another deep breath, and then made an effort to smile.
You know, we never did get to finish our earlier conversation.
Uh-oh. We didn't?
No. We were interrupted.
She unbuckled herself and moved close to me. Her right hand raised to my left cheek, and I flinched minutely, wondering if I had crossed a line with my staring earlier, and now I was going to pay for it. But something else happened. She rested her hand lightly there, and then she planted a soft kiss on my right cheek. She murmured in my ear,
I was going to say, I don't mind if you're obvious, but since I think you missed all my subtle hints, this is me being obvious.
Oh, was all I could manage to say, overwhelmed by surprise. Nakari didn't remove her hand from my face, but she reared back to look me in the eye, her expression incredulous.
That's all you have to say? Oh?
I made a completely unnecessary throat-clearing noise and said, I liked that thing you did a few seconds ago where you kissed me. I think you should do it again.